Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Raj Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Welcome, beautiful friends. Welcome to another episode of Living Life Powerfully. And today we're going to talk about loneliness, going from loneliness to aloneness. Have you ever felt lonely? I'm sure most of us have had this experience at some time in our life. And it's a complicated experience because it has very little to do with being alone. Maybe that's how we try to solve it. If we're feeling lonely, that's the first thing we do is we try to surround ourselves with people. But if you've ever experienced it, it seems to descend or it just comes out of nowhere when you least expect it. It's intangible and it's impossible to quantify. And it's sort of like that perpetual state of seeking that you just crave, that you feel like you just need it. And loneliness comes with settling for less than you deserve just as surely as it comes with reaching for that which you cannot attain.
Now, what does that mean, Ross? What does that mean? Within.
So, you know, sometimes when we've got something in our life, Perletta, that we just kind of, it's not really what we want, but we've settled for it. Okay, we know we can have more and we want more, but we just settle for it for whatever reason. There could be just a plethora of reasons. That can sometimes have you feeling lonely.
Because you feel like something's missing.
Yes, absolutely. It creates that craving or that need, which is unmet, right? It's not. And you don't quite know how to meet it because you've already settled for something.
What I appreciate about that, because I didn't quite understand the statement that you're making, is when you feel like something's missing, it's something outside of yourself, right? There's a desire for something outside of you that you feel like you can't fulfill, and the absence of that makes you, there's a wanting or a longing for it, which can create loneliness.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Or when we're reaching for that which we cannot attain, you know, what is that about? Something that we cannot attain, maybe we've gotten into an envious position. Maybe we're wanting something that, you know, just is beyond our grasp. And that can leave us feeling lonely. So it kind of grips us from within. And we can feel lonely even when we're surrounded by people. Mm. And we can feel connected to others even though we're 3,000 miles away.
You get this in
most
work,
of us.
With work with couples a lot, where sometimes when couples grow apart, both of us can feel loneliness within the marriage. So although they're together, they're not connected.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and you bring up a really good point because that was my experience, you know, absolutely. I think I was more lonely than I am now that I am alone. You know, it's like, and that's, I think, an experience that many people feel. And most of us will really go to great lengths to avoid the lonely feeling. And then the problem becomes even larger as we often use self-destructive ways to avoid it. So I think addictions are one way to avoid facing the loneliness. So some people maybe have gotten tired of turning to other people. Maybe that hasn't worked. So now the addictions work.
I was going to say busyness may be another form, right?
Busy that's an addiction. Yeah.
So that we addiction can avoid it. And both of them are ways of avoiding and with present for us in our emotions and certainly in the thoughts that may be associated with feeling lonely. Because quite often we make ourselves wrong for feeling lonely, like something's wrong with me. I shouldn't feel this way, which is untrue.
It's absolutely untrue. So today's show, what we want to do is we want to move you from loneliness to aloneness. Now, you may say that that is not going to do much. It is just going to exacerbate the loneliness. Well, I just invite you to stay with us. And I believe that you may understand where we are going and why we want to move to aloneness. So let's just understand what loneliness is. It's like what we just talked about. It's that isolation that comes with nursing a feeling which is unreturned. It's like an unmet expectation. And aloneness is very different. Aloneness is finding the freedom in this very same isolation. It's that strange state of bliss that comes with being truly honest and unapologetically content in your own company. So you're not bringing in words like I'm being selfish or, you know, all those things that we say because we're enjoying our own company. Aloneness is the nature of mankind. That's who we are. It's the nature of our being. It was before our birth. When you were in the womb, you were alone for 9 months. And we're alone really even during our life. If you think about it, there's an aloneness to us. For example, you know, no one can walk for you. No one can work for you. No one can, experience when you're having a fever. You're alone in that. People can perhaps, you know, support you in that, but no one can actually feel it for you. So even after we die, you know, we're alone. So we can be peaceful and blissful and, you know, with no responsibility and no commitments. Actually, we've experienced it before. And many psychologists say, actually, that's what we're doing when we're healing. We're just finding our way back to that place when we were, you know, a child. And even once we're in the society, our being is alone, right? Just like I said, it's just the very nature of our existence. So it's something which is very natural. And now let's take a look at our mind. What is our mind?
Before you go on, Raj, I just want to talk for a second about this idea of loneliness being, I think you define it as the isolation that comes with nursing a feeling unreturned or an expectation unmet. And then what that means in terms of shifting from that state of being of loneliness to an awareness that I am alone, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing, but it's a natural state of being. And I mentioned a moment ago about the loneliness in the context of relationship because I hear about it all the time in my work with people, you know, that they feel alone. And you've seen it in like society. People say, I feel alone even in a crowded room. And so this idea that there's a feeling that we're nursing, that's a negative feeling because it brings us sadness or happiness with our state of being in a moment because there's an expectation that's unmet. And you and I sometimes talk about Buddhism and the concepts related to releasing and letting things go. And when we have expectations, then that causes disharmony in oneself, but we've never talked about it in the context of loneliness. And so I think that to me it's a very powerful question because I have been myself married and have felt very much alone, and I've never thought about it, actually until you just mentioned this definition, that my expectation was being met. And I think that's really important because whether we're in relationship with someone or in relationship with ourselves, because we can feel alone or lonely, I should say, when we're by ourselves because we may have expectations of ourselves. It doesn't necessarily have to be in relation to someone else, but oftentimes it is. And when we recognize, I think, that it's because we want someone else to do something. You know, I may have wanted my ex-husband to fill my cup some way. I wanted him to hold me a certain way. I wanted him to spend time with me a certain way. I wanted him to, whatever I wanted him to do that he didn't do, as a result of his failing to do that, I made it mean I'm lonely here. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just I'm aware. I did that over and over. And at the same time, being so single now, I rarely feel alone. Lonely. It's very interesting to me because I don't have the expectation of anyone, right? There's no expectation in my world.
So you just said you feel really lonely now? Perletta, you just said you feel really lonely?
No, I don't feel lonely now. I felt alone when I was with someone. But by myself, I don't feel alone, and I believe, because there's no expectation. There's no one to expect anything from except myself, and I take responsibility for myself. So I entertain myself. I spend time with myself. I enjoy my own company. There's no pressure I'm putting on someone else to meet a need of mine. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's something for not just me, I think, to look at, but for all of us when we're in relationships with other people, to look at where we're expecting them to be a certain way and to see if we're triggered, if they're not, into loneliness.
Okay, so one thing, I just want to make sure that we're not confusing, because you said, now I don't feel alone. Alone is something that we will always feel because that's our nature. Okay?
Yes, no,
it's not a bad thing to feel alone.
I corrected myself. I said alone, and then I said I meant lonely. I completely get
okay.
the difference. I'm alone now, but I don't feel
okay.
lonely. Yes.
Okay, so now let's just look at the other side for a moment, okay? Let's just go
yeah.
through that feeling of what loneliness is. So let's take a look at our mind and our personality and our ego, which all have been developed after we were born. They all require outside stimuli in order to exist and feel alive, right? Our mind holds a belief system that we've acquired from others, from our outside world, and our personality has been gifted to us by society. Thank you, society. And of course, our ego is also connected to our personality. So on one hand, we have the societal influence, that societal part of us, and on the other hand, we have this individuality, which is natural. It's not influenced by society. Now, if you know yourself only through others' opinions about you, you only know yourself through that outside stimuli, this is your personality. Now, if you know yourself through your own understanding, your own clarity, that is you. That is who you are at your basic core before everything was, you know, whatever, influenced by our dear family and friends and the world. So the needs of personality, okay, needs others or outside stimuli such as entertainment. Now with the digital age, that's what we use a lot. We may not be connected to other people, but we use Facebook or we use Twitter or we get on the internet or watch TV, you know, and it always, our personality needs validation. It needs to identify with different roles. It needs to feel good by doing or being a certain way. And as the needs of personality are met, your personality gets strengthened and the ego gets fed with material, and this feeling temporarily feels like fulfillment. So what happens when you're feeling disconnected or isolated, okay, or alone? Now, ego is not getting fed.
No, I'm saying
when you are alone. When you are, let's say you're alone. There's nobody around you. There's nothing else going on. No entertainment, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
this is like alone, like a physical sense.
Okay.
The ego is not getting fed. Personality is not getting strengthened. And your very roots are shaken. It's like, what do I do now? Where do I go now? Now, when we are identified with our personality and ego, we lose the connection with our individuality, our own uniqueness. Most of the time, we don't want to look at that. You know, there's something that we're afraid. We feel like it's going to cause us some sort of pain. We may have some guilt. We may have some shame. You know, we may have a lot of different things that we don't like about ourselves. And this is where the pain of loneliness enters our experience. And another way to look at it is that our personality just contains the titles and the roles given to us by society, whereas our individuality is our beingness. This is the understanding of yourself as you are without all the societal limitations. Sorry, Perletta, go ahead.
No. I was going to interrupt you, Ryan. Sorry about that. I think when we're faced with disharmony, right, when there's a disconnection within ourselves, our tendency is to blame, the ego's tendency, our tendency is to blame the outside world. Like, so if we're in a relationship with someone else, our tendency is to look at them and say, you did this to me. If we're experiencing something at work, we may blame the environment, you know, and feel like people are against us. And we sometimes do that from the ego standpoint, as you mentioned, to justify what we're thinking or feeling. And what's required in those instances is that we have the courage to trace the disharmony back to ourselves. You know, the Course of Miracles, there is no outside world. There's only your internal world and what you project out there. So, you know, the distinction that I like to make with loneliness or being alone is this idea that when I feel lonely, that means I'm looking outside there and I'm blaming what's happening, my internal experience in the external world. But when I take responsibility and I'm courageous enough to look within and open up my own self, then I can shift from feeling lonely to feeling an awareness of being alone and take responsibility for that, right? Because it's a completely different experience when you accept responsibility and you're dealing from a different place than your ego of wanting someone else or an environment to fulfill a need or some desire that's lacking.
Yeah. So, Perletta, like in society, we continuously feed our personality and ego. That's what we do, and we lose sight of a very important dimension of ourselves. And some people, if you'll notice, are willing to get any attention, even if it is negative attention. I think it happens in media all the time, you know, getting negative attention just so that you can be out there. And if one gives all of the time to the personality and the ego, our individuality cries for attention. And this cry for attention is the pain of loneliness. This is how loneliness creeps in. It is our cry, pay attention to yourself within you. Everything is inside of you. And until you understand your own individuality, you will undergo the pain of loneliness. It may not happen tomorrow. It may happen when you are 50 or 60 or 80. And think about this. You know, people just accept this as a fact, like people undergo midlife crisis. Or, you know, they just get sick and die after their retirement because they just feel so empty. They've never connected within. Think about it. When things which boost your personality are taken away, what are you going to do? Ask yourself this question. You know, at this point, many people have to escape from themselves and turn towards some form of entertainment. And, of course, this is a temporary fix, since the entertainment will not last forever. And this is when the feeling of total emptiness or loneliness or meaninglessness comes up. And around the age of 45 or 50, after people have achieved whatever they wanted to achieve, they've gone to school, they have a family, they have kids, you know, now the only thing missing is the happiness. And this is called the happiness. It comes up as a happiness as a depression of success. It's that emptiness hits. And when that emptiness hits, one of three paths are likely. Otherwise, we're going to get one of the ways is we're going to get into some sort of an addiction, whether it's shopping or watching TV or being busy or whatever. These are all addictions, or eating,
well,
or something, or partying.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think we don't necessarily view addictions in the context that you mentioned. Quite often we may see it as drug abuse or use, or, you know, alcoholism, or maybe even now it's more popular to look at sex as an addiction. But some of those other things that you mentioned, and we're going to be talking about addiction actually on our next show, but some of the other things you mentioned, watching television, the internet, eating, all of those things are addictions that many people use every day but don't consider them to be addictions, and maybe they're filling a void or feelings of emptiness or loneliness that you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what the number one addiction is, Perletta? We're addicted to our thoughts. We're so addicted to our thoughts. So that's when I say addictions, that's what I'm talking about. So this is what we're going to, one of these three paths we're going to follow. The second path is suicide. Now, am I talking about just, you know, taking your life? No, I'm talking about a slow suicide. We're going to do things that are, you know, contraindicated to a healthy life. Okay? We're going to be sort of killing that part of us, that other dimension of us. We're going to be trying to cover that up. So that's what I mean by suicide. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is we may get into the meditation, okay? If we're, you know, on that path, we may decide that, oh, this is a time to go within and just quiet our thoughts down. So there are three ways. Either we're going to be addicted to something, or suicide, or meditation. So the meditation requires three things, okay? It's listening to great truths, spending time. The second thing is spending time contemplating the great truths. And then number three is expressing these great truths in your life. So actually applying what you're contemplating, okay? So what can you do?
Okay? Well,
I just want you to ask yourself.
You're not talking about meditation in the construct of having to sit down and meditate. You're talking about meditation in the context of reflection and contemplation. Is that correct?
Well, and expression. So however that expression shows up for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So meditation is just sort of, it's a connection, right? It's a connection to something. So what I want to just suggest is, what can you do? Ask yourself. And this is the question, who am I, is so important. And I want to just mention here that this is not a question. This is a quest. This is not a question that you're going to be able to answer. This is a quest. It's a discovery. So take the I-O-N off of the word question, okay? Do not accept anything, whatever answer you get in your mind, do not accept anything which society has bestowed upon you so that you can go beyond the clutches of your mind, your personality, and your ego. Don't let yourself be run by these three. We feel disconnected from others and life because our personality and ego cannot communicate authentically and powerfully with others or ourselves. There is a saying that between personalities, only contracts happen, but between individuals, real contact happens. Think of yourself as individual and alone, and what comes out of this is pure love. You are not going to be disconnected. Actually, you're going to be authentically and powerfully connected to yourself and to others. And just express, you know, like, do not fear the pain of loneliness. Face it. It is truly an opportunity to give birth to a whole new relationship with yourself. Although it may seem like a lot of suffering to be with the pain, just practice accepting it. When you do this, you shift your reality from personality to individuality, from ego to the self, from mind to mindless bliss, from suffering to joy, and from pain to contentment. Stop mentally relating to others when you are lonely. You know, have you noticed, Perletta, when we're home alone, we even mentally relate to others? And we blame others, like you mentioned?
No, I don't. I haven't personally had that experience. However, I want to just go into a little bit more of what you were talking about in terms of, you know, facing it and seeing it as an opportunity. Because I think, and I say this oftentimes because I believe it, I feel like we should write a book on busyness, but because busyness, I think, is an addiction. And most people in Western society, we're so preoccupied. We're so preoccupied with the matrix and filling our space and time with the many things that we need to accomplish and successes outside of ourselves, you know, what we manifest in terms of homes and money and cars and vacations and whatever those things may be. Those are perpetuated by the culture, the dominant culture, as manifestations of success, and you're going to achieve happiness if you get to those things, if you, you know, have your desires met. And this conversation that we're having is really, the, on some level, the opposite of that. The quest or desire is not outside of yourself, and how, no matter how hard you work, and there's a cultural pressure to work hard, to work longer hours. There's so many articles out there now by social scientists on the pressure to work hours, and no matter what profession that you're in, you know, all of those things can become addictive because you're working incessantly to get this fix, this, you know, sense of satisfaction internally. And no matter how hard you work, quite often it's not going to be achieved, because when you achieve it, the desire for more kind of has a tendency to creep in. So this disconnecting from the external and coming and bringing it in to the internal, you know, an internal conversation, finding peace and learning to surrender in a skillful way, you know, and not judging that and disconnecting from all of that busyness can be quite challenging, because that's what we're accustomed to. That's the environment that we're raised in. And actually shifting your way of thinking and being and feeling in the world to one of that's focused on peacefulness and love and compassion, and, you know, for yourself first and then for others, I don't think that's easy. I mean, we can say, you know, oh, yeah, here, do this. But how do you actually do that when everything outside in our environment is focused on the exact opposite? How do we learn to surrender in a way that, you know, that honors ourselves and, you know, and that conjures up, like, balance? I have I've been having this conversation with a client of mine because she's in her late 20s and she's climbing her way up the corporate ladder, and she feels incredibly stressed as a result of doing that. And the conversation is quite often, you know, what is, this is what you're talking about, what are your own personal needs versus the desire to please, the expectations that other people have that you're going to try to meet, and at what point do you say, you know, I'm going to prioritize my internal state of being over these external desires? I think it's a powerful question for each of us to be in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the busyness of life, you know, has to be addressed. We need to do just a show on that. And I want to share this following excerpt that I found in the Thought Catalog. And it's very powerful. It says, loneliness and aloneness stand as the two pillars to the one emotional pendulum. There will be days when you're so physically alone, so abandoned in your own company, that you find yourself smiling and laughing without reason. Then there will be the days spent by the ocean with the one you love, when you find yourself suddenly, inconceivably on the verge of. We can't allow ourselves to be defined by the people we surround ourselves with. We can't allow ourselves to be defined by our relationship status or our weekend plans or the screaming silence of our mobile phone. If you're single, please understand that a relationship isn't the ticket to happiness. If you're in a relationship, please know that being single isn't a sentence to sorrow. We're all just swinging on that same rickety pendulum, forever in flux between being alone and being lonely. We're all just trying to find our balance, wondering how or why or what we're doing there, wherever there is. Just know that whichever you happen to be or feel at this exact moment, the power to maintain or change it will always be in your own hands, not in theirs or in anyone else's. And sometimes the best cure to loneliness is, in fact, to be alone. Thank you so much for joining us today. We always welcome and appreciate your feedback, which you can provide at pearlrajradio@gmail.com. Join us on Facebook at Living Life Powerfully. Stay true to yourself. Stay empowered.
Have a fantastic and amazing week.